I'm going to go solo on this podcast this week, and it's kind of cool because I get to talk about something that I'm super passionate about, and that is combat sports. Everyone knows probably over the past weekend we had at least one huge combat sports event, but there was actually two, and one is very important to Elemental Training Tampa and the Addicted to Fitness podcast. But
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. I say it each week because I mean it, guys. We really appreciate you guys sharing the podcast. We see our download numbers each week, and they continue to grow, and I know that's thanks to you all. Also, another thing to help us reach a broader audience is to give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Doesn't seem like much, but it really does help kind of get our podcast in front of some new viewers. All right, so as you guys would probably, all the old listeners know that, you know, Shannon should be jumping in any second now, but this week is a rare solo podcast for me. You know, obviously I haven't demoted Shannon or put her on the bench or anything like that, but you guys know that we're quickly approaching the due date for our first child, so Shannon, that puts a lot of I wouldn't say unwanted stress on Shannon, but she has a lot more to deal with nowadays. Obviously, you know, she's becoming a yoga instructor. She's finishing that training. She's also working full time as in a very lots of responsibility in her position at work. So she's I'm giving her a little time off. You know, she's got some friends and family in town right now. She's spending time with them, which is very important before and after when the baby comes. So I'm going to go solo on this podcast this week, and it's kind of cool because I get to talk about something that I'm super passionate about, and that is combat sports. Everyone knows probably over the past weekend we had at least one huge combat sports event, but there was actually two, and one is very important to Elemental Training Tampa and the Addicted to Fitness podcast. But before we get into those topics, we're going to go through our training recap like we normally do. Obviously, Shannon, like I mentioned, she went through her last week of her last weekend of intense yoga training for her certification class. Or not certification, basically her training class to be a yoga instructor. So she did that last weekend, or excuse me, 2 weekends ago. She probably mentioned it on last week's podcast. But she is, now she's into the final period. She's, she'll be doing her final kind of, she has to lead a class, for her final, kind of like the final exam. She's got to lead her own one-on-one class. And I think she's actually matched up with another pregnant student. So it's kind of nice. And she's been doing all the necessary work that goes along with it, all the homework. Literally, there's actual homework. She's also had to do a lot of assisting classes too. So she's been really diligent about that, and I'm super proud of her because, as I've already mentioned, she is very, very pregnant. She's in her third trimester right now. We're anticipating our the birth of our first child very, very soon, and you guys will hear all about, not all about that, but you guys, I'll keep you guys up to date with all that stuff in the next couple weeks. But I'm super proud of her. She's been doing that and trying to get as much exercise in addition to yoga as she can that, you know, her body allows her to do. So that's her training recap. For me, man, this last week was, it was unbelievable. It was, since I started being a full-time personal trainer, which happened March 1st of this year, this was my busiest week to date. I had scheduled over 20 hours of personal training scheduled this week. I know I just said scheduled twice, but it was that was a first for me. So it was a super busy week for me, and it was super awesome. I love it, and I can't get enough of it. Hopefully it keeps. I know it will because I have some really, really great clients, and I'm going to give a shout out to a couple clients in particular who are going through some personal, physical, and some more, you know, not so physical, but definitely personal issues now. And they're really pushing through, and I want to wish them luck and let them know we're thinking about you. The whole ETT community is thinking about you guys. So just wanted to shout out to all the ETT clients who are awesome. That was really my training recap for the week, you know, personal training, you know, training other my clients. That was kind of what I really got to this week. I plan on trying to keep my weekly goal of going to one jiu-jitsu class a week. So I've still got that, you know. I'm still planning on doing that. And you know what I did in the last few weeks, which kind of relates to the first topic we're going to go into, is I got to do a lot of sparring, actually boxing sparring the last couple of weeks. And that was mainly due because one ETT client, Anthony Spanish Polichemy, had a boxing match against Martin Gramatica. And both of those names might be familiar to the people who, especially if you live in Tampa Bay, but also one of the names in particular familiar to those living outside of Tampa Bay, because Martin Gramatica is the former pro NFL kicker who won the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Bucks. And he did a celebrity boxing match against an ETT client, Anthony Spanish Polichemy, who is an executive producer of the Mike Calta Morning Radio Show that's here, you know, local to Tampa Bay on 102.5 The Bone FM. And I've been fortunate enough, if you guys listened to the podcast before, you guys know that I've been fortunate enough to be involved with the their annual boxing event, celebrity boxing event that the Mike Calta Show puts on called the Mike Calta Punch-Up. The last previous 2 years, I trained Carmen, the one of the other members of the show, and this year I got to train Spanish, and it was an awesome experience. I've enjoyed working with both the radio station and the show and the members individually, both Carmen and Spanish, whose real name is Anthony. They call him Spanish. So I had a really great experience training him, and mainly because of how obsessed with boxing and martial arts in general and fitness that Anthony became during the training process. From the get-go, he was all in. You know, he was very dedicated. And when you work with a client like that, regardless of what their ultimate goal is, whether it be, you know, athletic event or just, you know, having a more healthy lifestyle, if the person is all in, if they're 100% dedicated and they're always excited whenever they're training, whenever they get to training or get to train, excuse me, that makes the job so much easier on me. And it makes me more invested too. And I say that not that I'm not invested when people are somewhat disconnected or not as engaged when they're in training at ETT training, but I feed off the person's energy. I think it's like with anything. You feed off other people's energy. And if that person's excited, they're happy to be there, they're engaged, they're remaining, keeping eye contact and asking questions and responding, with respect and everything like that, it makes me more invested in it too. You know, I'm very, very lucky that almost all my clients are act that way. You know, it's not just an anomaly. Spanish isn't just an anomaly. I keep calling him Spanish. That's his nickname. So he's not just an anomaly, even though he does have a very kind of boisterous attitude. I don't want to keep talking about that, but let's just want to talk about his performance. It was had on the mic. He had to actually have an amateur boxing match against Martin Gramatica, yes, former pro football player. Spanish had a little bit of disadvantage going into the event. Not as, you know, of course, we've already established the fact that Martin was a pro athlete at one point in time, but also that he had a height and weight advantage on Anthony. And Anthony weighed in about 135, 140, was about 5'6". And then Martin was about 160, 165, and about 5'11". So about my stats. So it was definitely, when you're doing a combat sports event, there's a reason why they have weight classes. is because that's how you most evenly match. When you have to go against somebody either bigger or taller, things like that. I mean, mainly they do it by weight, but if you have to go by somebody that weighs more than you, especially anywhere from 20 pounds, 20 to 15 pounds, the size relates to both reach and also usually power advantages. So we knew that going into it. But luckily with, you know, any type of amateur boxing event, the technique is still, they don't have enough time really to develop proper technique. So that kind of takes away a little bit from the power that's associated with it, unless somebody is very naturally gifted. But you know, we worked on Spanish's strengths, which he was very light on his feet, had good footwork, good head movement. And then we just hammered down on some real basic techniques and really kept just really trying to hammer those home. You know, jab cross, keep the hands up, head movement, roll underneath punches, slipping punches, everything like that. And I was very, very fortunate to have to be able to bring Spanish to Amir's Academy of Martial Arts. If you guys aren't familiar with that name, go back a couple episodes. I interviewed Master Amir Ardabili, who is the owner and founder of Amir's Academy of Martial Arts, who turned me into an amateur kickboxer and really kind of changed my life. I suggest everybody go back. I'll make sure I'll put the link in the show notes. But he was very welcoming and was kind enough to welcome Spanish into the fighters class, and Spanish got to really spar against some people that are some skilled fighters, which was huge. That's when you're an amateur, that's really, and with the small time frame that we had to get ready, we really, really needed that. That was the best thing we could have done. Spanish, I could have caught Spanish's all these techniques and all these combos, and then, but if he didn't get that sparring in that he did, I think his performance would have suffered tremendously, because the main thing to really learn when you're an amateur is the ability to take a hit and still like stay the course. You gotta kind of get past that, the fight or flight response. You obviously want to get into fight mode, not flight mode. So that's kind of the main thing you need to learn as an amateur, that you can take a punch and stay still, stick in there and keep fighting. So Spanish was totally dedicated. He went through all the sparring. He sparred a lot of guys that I would spar during my time training. So he sparred some really good guys and was stuck in there, you know, and I feel like, you know, from the impression I got from him, he loved every second of it. And fight night came. It was August 25th. I will make sure, guys, I will put all the links to pictures and videos of the fight in the show notes, so you guys can watch it. Sadly, I couldn't be there. I was out of town, but I made sure I was actually listening to it, because they broadcasted it on the radio, since it's a radio event. I listened to it in the middle of the event I was at out of town. I had my headphones in, and I was standing outside a restaurant listening to it on the radio, and I got to listen to it round by round. And from what I heard, you know, Spanish came out firing, had a great first round, really landed some punch, had some great head movement, kind of sounded like he was able to avoid Martin's offense and throw some offense of his own. So it sounded like Spanish took round one, and then 2, 3, 4, from what I heard from the commentators, it sounded like Martin was going to land a few more power shots. But I think, from what I hear from, Spanish afterwards, you know, he was still able to move a little bit, but he probably wasn't as offensive as he would have liked. And what I heard in the fifth round was that, Spanish was able to turn it back on. He landed some good shots round five, from what I believe and what I heard. And it kind of reflected on the scorecards, because when it came back, Spanish ended up losing a decision. It's a unanimous decision. It sounded like 3-2. So obviously not the outcome that he wanted or I wanted, or, you know, Master Amir and the Amir's Academy of Martial Arts and Tampa Strength, where Spanish trained with me. Those were all the people that were really supporting him. But, you know, just as far as the training wise, a lot of people were supporting him. But, you know, he had a great showing. He showed that, and especially against somebody who's bigger and weighed more and a former pro athlete, I think Spanish did amazing. So I'm super proud of him, and I'm even more proud and excited at the fact that he's going to continue training. He's going to continue training with me, with ETT at Tampa Strength, and he's going to continue to go to Mears Academy and keep up his martial arts training because, like I said, he's obsessed now, which is so awesome, and I couldn't be happier. So, you know, stay tuned. We might have another event, another boxing event. You know, I've had been able to develop a great relationship with the Mike Calta Show, and hopefully I can keep that up with any other events they have in the future. So I'm super honored to be a part of that once again and super proud of Spanish. So that was the huge combat sports event that was related to ETT, or that ETT was involved in. And then the other one, which I think probably the rest of the world was involved in by just being engaged in it, was the Mayweather and McGregor fight that took place on August 25th. It was the night after the Mike Calta punch out. So, like I said, once again, I was away. I was out of town, but we were able to see the event. We paid for the pay-per-view, which, of course, you know, as most people realize, was a little bit delayed because of some cable provider issues. But luckily, it came to fruition. Finally, the most anticipated combat sports event, probably of this century. Probably not in history. I doubt that would be unfair to say in my estimations. But definitely of probably maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. Tyson's kind of return was probably very highly anticipated. And then, you know, Holyfield Tyson 1 was obviously very you know, a huge event. And then recently, I think, Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko was a huge event and really delivered to a certain extent. If you guys haven't seen that fight, I recommend you check it out on YouTube. Anthony Joshua, Vladimir Klitschko from this year, 2017. So anyways, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. For all you that may not know, and I doubt if there's any of you out there, Floyd Mayweather, 49-0, probably, I would say, definitely the best technical, in my opinion, the best technical boxer of all time. And probably one of the smartest boxers of all time, honestly, in the ring. I'm not going to make any comments about him outside of the ring. In the ring, I think probably one of the most smartest and efficient boxers of all time, if not the most, regardless, he takes very minimal punishment, great head movement, lands. I heard somebody say this recently on a podcast, and I think it describes him perfectly. He is totally fine winning a round by one or two punches, which is huge, which means he expends only the amount of energy he needs to win the round, okay? And I think he realized that later on, as he got later in his career, that if he wanted to hit that 49-0, if he wanted to keep that unblemished record, he would have to do that because he's seen so many. He comes from a family of boxers. He's seen so many of his either training partners or his own family. He sees what happens when you take a lot of damage. You know, it doesn't end very well for those individuals. You know, there's plenty of great story, not a great is a bad word to say. There's plenty of examples of what happens to boxers who take a tremendous amount of trauma in the ring. Yes, we applaud them for being warriors and we remember them, but I mean, probably one of the prime examples, even though some people disagree that it was due to boxing. I mean, some people, I don't know how many still do this, but, you know, obviously Muhammad Ali, who had to deal with, I believe, I'm going to say Parkinson's, I could be wrong, but a lot of people attribute that to, you know, obviously the time he spent in the ring and in the wars he went through, or the battles he went through. I think war is a bad word to use. But Mayweather doesn't fight that way, or he hasn't, especially in recent history. He's become very much more efficient, likes to win by taking the least damage possible and inflicting just enough damage he needs to win on the cards. You know, I think, believing going into this match, he hadn't had a knockout in somewhere close to 10 years, you know, hasn't won by KO in close to 10 years. So, that's kind of it's almost like a feather in his cap because he's been able to win still, but just, you know, win by not taking damage and inflicting enough damage to get the W. So 49-0, and he went up against Conor McGregor, who is probably the biggest MMA star in the world. You know, has some epic fights against Eddie Alvarez, Chad Mendes, Jose Aldo. I mean, just kind of took the MMA world kind of by storm, I would say, and really is just such an outgoing personality. Just it really kind of makes people, I think, makes people really inspired to kind of like, he's an inspiring figure, I think, because honestly, he's, especially in this example, I mean, in this situation, going up against the 49-0 Mayweather, when your record is 0-0, 0-0 in professional boxing, and you're going up against arguably the best boxer of all time, and all you do is talk about how you're going to win, that takes a lot of self-confidence, and sure, I mean, maybe it was a little foolhardy, but he ultimately, and what I heard from a lot of experts that are super close to him, was that he believed he could win. It wasn't putting on a show, it was just about, this is what I believe I can do. If I connect with my straight left, which is his power punch, and he believes he could knock Mayweather out, or he believed, excuse me. And I think when you saw the bell ring, you saw the first couple of rounds, he was in it to win it. He wasn't in there just to put on a performance to get paid. He was in to win. One thing I want to know before I go through what I thought happened in the fight is when they read the rules right at the beginning, they said, and this is kind of super technical, a little bit inside, kind of, I say inside baseball, even though it's at boxing, they had no standing eight count. And for some of you who may not understand what that means, the ref, if a fighter is taking a lot of damage and he's not necessarily going down, he's still standing, but he's just not taking, he's not firing back any punches. He's going into a shell to a certain extent. The ref can step in and give a fighter what they call a standing eight count. Basically, he tells the other fighter to go, the fighter that's really, you know, putting a lot of damage on one fighter, he tells him to go in his own corner, and then the ref will count the fighter who's taking all the damage. You give him a standing eight count. At the end of the eight count, the ref will ask the fighter if he can continue. The ref will look at him, see if he thinks he can continue, and then they can start the match if the ref chooses to restart the match. Well, in this fight, they had no standing eight count, which I saw when they read the official rules, and I thought, huh, that is interesting. I wonder if that'll come back into play. So I say that because then we go into the fight. And honestly, the first three rounds, I think, were really, Conor McGregor showed that he has some boxing skills. I mean, still has holes in his game, still had some amateur moments, but showed that he could box with Floyd Mayweather. A lot of people said Floyd Mayweather let him do that. I can't imagine. Yes, Floyd Mayweather is smart, and I'm sure Floyd Mayweather had the belief that he said, this guy cannot beat me. You know, he's like, I fought way better fighters than this. There's no way this guy is going to beat me. Well, I think he connected, especially in the first round. You guys can see it. You'll go back if you watch some replays, that Conor hit him with a counter uppercut that knocked Floyd's head back. It wasn't a tremendous punch. I mean, I don't think it was going to be up on the highlights for the biggest punches landed on Floyd, maybe. But it was definitely a kind of a rude awakening for Floyd. I think that kind of let him know that, hey, you know, if I don't, you know, mind my P's and Q's, I can get caught. So I think Conor won round 1 and 3, established a good jab, established some good footwork, moved really at some really kind of more angles that were unlike you, something you wouldn't really see in boxing too much. And I think Mayweather was really just watching Conor, trying to analyze what he was doing and absorb it, and then was planning his future attacks in the next rounds or the preceding rounds. So I think rounds one, two, and three went to Conor, in my opinion. And then you could see what started round four, Mayweather was starting to really, he found, you know, he figured him out. You know, and I don't know if maybe rounds 1 and 3, he was just hoping making Connor punch himself out. But I think definitely once round four started, it was all Mayweather. You could start seeing he was slowly landing more shots. His straight right hand was really landing. Connor couldn't really stop it. So as those rounds went on and on, it started kind of going more and more Mayweather's way. And then I think it was round nine. It was really, you could see that the fatigue, maybe it was round eight, because round eight was honestly, that was kind of that would have been like the longest that McGregor has gone in a professional combat sports event, I believe. He went 25 minutes one time in the UFC, and then by round eight, the end of round eight, that would be 24 minutes. So round number nine starts, it's kind of a new record for him as far as duration of a fight. And you could see it in round nine that his cardio was he was spent to a certain extent. Hands down, trying to move, but his head movement was lacking. And Mayweather, that's when Mayweather poured it on. And then round nine and a half? It was like halfway through the ninth round? No, halfway through round 10. Mayweather put a flurry on, and it was just McGregor was, you know, his motor was done. He was shot. So he got up against the ropes and was taking some unanswered shots and really wasn't defending himself well. And the ref stepped in and called the fight. A lot of people argue that it was called too early, that McGregor could have taken more shots, could have survived the round. I'm from what I saw, he was done. I don't think there's anything he could have done unless he throws some wild haymaker, which I don't think, as far as Mayweather's concerned, wouldn't have landed anyways, as far as good as Mayweather is. I don't think that would have happened. So the ref did the smart thing. He did what he thought he needed to do to protect Conor McGregor, which was step in and end the fight, because he couldn't give him an eight count. Because that was in the rules. No standing eight count was in the rules. So he couldn't step in and say, even though Conor was still standing, couldn't give him an eight count, let him recruit, maybe try to get this fight to keep going, you know, see maybe if he could find a second or third wind. He couldn't do that because it wasn't in the rules. So I think the ref did what he had to do, because if it wasn't then, it was going to be 15 seconds from when it stopped, because I don't think Conor was going to mount any type of rebuttal to what Floyd was giving him. So honestly, I thought it was an exciting event. Went 10 into the 10th round, which a lot of people weren't predicting. A lot of people thought Mayweather was going to dispatch of him very quickly. I obviously didn't write down my prediction. I think I said it on air on the radio, which hopefully I'll have that interview coming up for you guys soon and let you know about it. Anyways, I believe what I thought was going to happen is what kind of did happen. Mayweather was going to take the first couple rounds to really analyze McGregor, and McGregor was going to come out in the first couple rounds to really try to land a power punch. But once, if that didn't land in the first couple rounds, Mayweather would have figured Conor out and then starting going to work on him. So, and that's kind of what happened. And I wasn't totally surprised by what happened, but I was very impressed by how well I believe Conor McGregor was able to grasp boxing in a short period of time. So I think it was a great night. It was entertaining. Both events, both the Mike Calta punch out and the Mayweather McGregor fight, were both entertaining events, and I was glad to be involved in one and then to obviously kind of a viewer of the other. So because I don't care how you slice it, even though if you thought if you thought it was somewhat of a circus event, honestly, I don't care. It was a fight, and they were both qualified fighters. Yes, McGregor doesn't fight in boxing. It's a different – MMA is a different sport, even though that's, there are some aspects that are similar. But it was still a great fight, and I thought it was a legit sporting event, a legit combat sports event. And I think it was, I don't know if Conor's going to go back in the boxing ring again, and I don't know if Mayweather's going to go back again. He might take his 50-0 and just, ride off in the sunset, which, you know, I think would be good. And, I think Conor's probably what I heard going back to the UFC, which would also be good. So that was a little commentary from both of those combat sports event guys. I know this is a little departure of what we normally do. Usually we guys give you some just straight up health and fitness news, which we're definitely going to get back to, guys. We got some, I'm going to be lining up some, hopefully some interviews to throw your guys way for with some really interesting health and fitness professionals. I'm planning a taste test really soon. I got a couple products, or Shannon and I are planning a taste test. Shannon is coming back, don't worry. We're going to have that coming your way, guys, and we're going to probably going to reach back in the vault and throw you guys a nice throwback episode, too, something from our earlier days. So thank you guys once again for listening to the podcast. Please connect with us on social media. All our social contacts will be on the outro, so just reach out to us, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, however you guys – what's your preferred method of contact? Reach out and let us know what you think of the podcast, or give us suggestions for possible podcast topics. We love hearing that. All right. Once again, please head to iTunes, give us a rating review, and we really appreciate you guys listening to us each week. All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time. If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. I say, blah, blah. Three, two, one.